We're back. You're listening Across the Border. That's the name of this program. We're going through the scripture. We're in the Gospel of Matthew and chapter 25 and verse 41. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry and you gave me no meat. I was thirsty and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you took me not in. Naked, and you clothed me not. Sick and in prison, and you visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we hungry and athirst, a stranger, naked, or sick, in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer, saying to them, Verily I say unto you, insomuch as you did it not to one of these, the least of these, you did it not unto me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, the righteous into eternal life. So there you have the sheep and the goats. Chapter 26 and verse 1. And it came to pass, when Yahshua had finished all these sayings, he said unto his disciples, You know that after 2 days is the feast of the Passover, and the Son of Man is betrayed to be crucified. Then assembled the chief priests and the scribes and the elders of the people unto the palace of the high priest, who was called Caiaphas, and consulted that they might take Jesus by subtlety and kill him. But they said, Not on the feast day, lest there be an uproar among the people. Now when Jesus was in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, there came unto him a woman, having an alabaster box of very precious ointment, and poured it on his head as he sat at meat. And when his disciples saw it, they had indignation, saying, To what purpose is this waste? For this ointment might have been sold for much and given to the poor. I wonder who is instigating this indignation over this waste. Would it not have been the treasurer? Wasn't his name Judas? Think he really cared about the poor? I think perhaps he might have just cared about what was being put into the treasury. For this ointment might have been sold for much and given to the poor. When Yahshua understood it, he said unto them, Why trouble ye the woman? For she hath wrought a good work upon me. For you have the poor always with you, but me you have not always. For in that she has poured this ointment on my body, she did it for my burial. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, there shall also this that this woman hath done be told for a memorial to her. Wow, that's kind of a fulfilling prophecy, isn't it? Yes, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached. So had to include it, didn't he? Then one of the 12, called Judas Iscariot, went unto the chief priests. Judas Iscariot, a very interesting name for those of you who never question the name. Of course, the Judas is really Yahuda. It's a typical name in Hebrew Israel at this time, because it really is the name Judah. The Greeks, they added an S to it here in this case, perhaps to differentiate his name from others. So they called him Judas, but he's really Judah of Iscariot. And what does Iscariot mean? Well, Iscariotes, of Hebrew origin, and it tells you age 30, and it tells you inhabitants of Kerioth. It's right there in your e-sword. If you mouse over the G2469, you'll see that our good friend Strong included it there, that the word Iscariot, translated from the Greek into English, is really Ish, which means man, and Kerioth, which was a town of the Edomites to the south of Yahuda, or Judah, or Judea. So, was he a son of Abraham? Well, are the Edomites sons of Abraham? Yes, they are. Wow. Yeah, even all those Muslims, all those sons of, what was the other guy's name? I can't remember his name right now. Oh, Isaac's half-brother, yeah. I know it, I really do. Sometimes you go for a name and it just flees from you. But all the Muslim nations over there in the Middle East, they're all sons of Abraham too, aren't they? So, Judas, or Judah of Iscariot, man of Kirioth. That's his title here. It's really a title. Iscariot is not his last name. So he's Judas, the man of Kirioth, which means that he's an Edomite. He's a man of Kirioth. Yes, he is a son of Abraham by blood, but is he a true Israelite or is he a convert? No, those are good questions, aren't they? You know, and there's a clue, and I don't know if we're going to get to that. Is that in Matthew or not? But they said, speaking of some of the scribes, Pharisees that were debating with the Messiah, they said that we are the sons of Abraham. And I think I went right by that and didn't mention it. But yes, when they were in the temple, defending their position, saying, we are the sons of Abraham, but we have never been in bondage. That's it. When they said, we have never been in bondage, they were signifying that they were not Hebrews or Israelites. And I have to take the word of God at its word here, because there's nothing in the scripture that says they were lying. And when I brought this up to a pastor once, well, he said they were just speaking presumptuously or in their own pride that we were never in bondage. But I think that was included there as a clue, and because the scripture does not exclude them from being sons of Abraham who were never in bondage, being actually Edomites who were converts to the faith of Judaism, you know, much like people convert to Judaism or become this or that religion today where there's no spiritual significance to it. It's all on the outward surface. But I think it signifies who they were. So I guess you could go either way on that. It's not an important issue, but it's something to think about because the scripture does include it. But here we have the name of the man, Judah Iscariot, the man of Kirioth, signifying where he came from. Perhaps he was not a true son of Israel. And otherwise, why would our Heavenly Father put this little tidbit in there? Certainly because it wasn't his last name. It tells us he was a man of a certain city, and that city, Kirioth, to the south of Judea, was a city of the Edomites. So one of the 12, called Judas, the man of Kirioth, went to the chief priests and said unto them, what will you give me? And I will deliver him unto you. And they covenanted with him for 30 pieces of silver. So he's going to betray the Messiah. And a lot of people theorize that, Judas was really a good guy, that he was trying to provoke the Messiah into using his power to establish his kingdom. He was trying to provoke the situation so that the kingdom of God with Yahshua sitting on the throne would come about faster. Well, he wasn't listening to the Holy Spirit, was he? No, there was sin. There was guile in this man. Otherwise, there was malice in him. He was not an obedient son of Israel. He was not seeking first the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, and his righteousness. Something was lacking in this man. He had an evil eye. That was who he was. That was his character. So he sets out to betray him for 30 pieces of silver. And from that time, he sought an opportunity to betray him. So he says, look, I'll tell you, I'll get an opportunity when you can come and take him when the people aren't around, because the people love the Messiah. They loved Yahshua, Jesus, because of who he was. He was very popular. And the leaders of that sect of Judaism Talmudic Babylonian Judaism, well, they really didn't want to take the Messiah in public because they feared the people. So they made a deal with their brother, the man of Kirioth, and he says, okay, well, I'll come to you and tell you when he's going to be apart so you can come and take him privately and secretly and not publicly. So they covenanted him with 30 pieces of silver. From that time, he sought an opportunity to betray him. Chapter 26, verse 17. Now the first day of the feast of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Yahshua, saying to him, where wilt thou that we prepare for thee to eat the Passover? And he said, go into the city to such a man, and say unto him, the master saith, the time is at hand, I will keep the Passover at thy house with my disciples. And the disciples did as Yahshua had pointed them, and they made ready the Passover. And when the even was come, he sat down with the 12, and they did eat. Verily I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me. Now, you notice they're keeping the Passover here. This is also called the Last Supper. They're keeping the Passover, the Last Supper. And as they did eat, he said, verily I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me. And they were exceeding sorrowful, and began every one of them to say unto him, Lord, is it I? Am I the one? God forbid. You know, they were afraid. And you could see that these men, they knew what they were. They knew what was possible. They had to question themselves. And you also see that Yahshua was not taken by surprise. There was no surprise there when he picked all of those disciples to be his 12 apostles. He knew that that one would betray him. He could see the evil eye of that one that he put in charge of the money. And I think there's a lesson there for us. And the lesson has to do with money, and it has to do with money today. And I've said this before, I think it is so fitting that our Heavenly Father has allowed evil men to control the money in this world because they love money, and their love of money is going to destroy them. So it's no wonder that they're in charge of money, because they look to money. Money is their God. As a matter of fact, they write on their money. They write, in God we trust. And I know that when they wrote, in God we trust, on that money, that they weren't referring to the God of Israel. They weren't referring to the God of Jacob. They were not referring to the God of Abraham. They were not referring to the great I Am, Yahuwah, the creator of heaven and earth. They were referring to their own God, the God of money. And I know this because my Heavenly Father wrote in his word, he said, a just weight and the balance are mine. So if I have a gold coin and it's a just weight and a balance, I know how much gold is in that coin. I know how much substance it is. That's his. That's his. But that paper thing is not a just weight and a balance. It's legalized theft. It's not his. So he's not the God referred to on that unjust weight and balance monetary system. So just a little aside there to why our Heavenly Father has allowed evil men to control the money. So don't be surprised, and don't spend your life chasing riches. Seek first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness, and he will provide everything that you need for your life. Everything. And you can hold them to that. Everything that you need. And what you need and what you want many times are far different things. You need to stay in his kingdom. You need to endure to the end, because forever is a long, long time. This life is short. You don't even need to live very long when it comes right down to what you need. So he exceeds what we need. By far, because what we really need is to make sure that we are in his kingdom when our time of mortality comes to the end, so that we can remain in his kingdom forever. That's what we need. And we're only going to get that if we seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. I mean, when you get down to really needs, because forever is a long time. Forever is forever. But this life is just fleeting, very short. As the scripture says, it's but a vapor. It appears for a little while and it passes away. He says, verily I say unto you that one of you shall betray me. And they were exceedingly sorrow, began every one of them to say, Lord, is it I? So they're around the table. You got the picture. This is the Last Supper. This is the Passover, because he is the Passover lamb. He's already laid down his life by entering into Jerusalem. I mean, you know, he has. He gave it up willingly. Or would he be there? He told him why he was going in, what he was going to do. And he answers that he that dippeth his hand with me in the dish, the same shall betray me. It's right out in the open. And so are they watching now to see who, oops, dips at the same time? The Son of Man goeth as it is written of him, but woe unto him, to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It had been better, it had been good for him, for that man, if he had not been born. I wonder what Judas, the man of Kerioth, is thinking as the Messiah is saying these things. Then Judas, which betrayed him, answered and said, Master, is it I? And he says, Thou hast said. He acknowledges, he affirms, Thou hast said. And as they were eating, Jesus took the bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, Take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. And Jesus saith unto them, All ye shall be offended because of me this night, for it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. He's told them over and over what was going to happen, that he would rise again. But after I am risen again, and then Peter says to him, in verse 33, Peter answered him and said to him, Though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. He just said, you shall, all you, all of you shall be offended. Peter says, you know, Peter, gotta love that man. You gotta love that character. No way, I'm not going to be offended. Not me, Master. And he says, Verily I say to you, that this night, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice, or three times. Peter said unto them, Though I should die with you, yet will I not deny thee. Likewise also said all the disciples. You know, Peter, he always starts it and everyone joins in, right? Then cometh Jesus with them into a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, Sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. Yes, for them, you know, a little comfort for them to be there, to tarry with him. And he went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou will. And he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep. And he saith to Peter, What? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went again, the second time, and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. Well, he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. We'll be back in a few minutes. You're listening to Cross the Border. My website is crosstheborder.org. take a look at the resources there, the Bible studies you missed. I'll be back in a few minutes.